We stand in awe of you this morning. Out of all the words, Father, that we can come up with, awesome. Awesome is the only word, Father, that we can even come close to just telling you what you are to us. We praise you this morning, Father. We praise you this morning, Father. We praise you this morning, Father. For you are amazing in all your ways. You are faithful in all your ways. You are righteous and holy in all your ways. So we lift you and we glorify you and we magnify your name this morning. For there is none like you, King of kings, Lord of lords, Prince of peace, Almighty God, full of power, full of might, full of wisdom and knowledge. And we bow before you in your presence this morning, Father.
Yes.
We bow before you. We bow before your throne. Humbly, surrendered, submitted to you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Good morning, Kingdom citizens. I am here standing in the stead for Pastor Joe, who is in Delaware with his father right now, and Renee went with him, and I would like to ask that everyone keep him up in prayer and keep that family up in prayer right now. There is a little bit of a struggle there. His father is doing okay, not doing as well as they would like him to do, so please keep them up in prayer this morning and going forth. As of right now, they should be back sometime Wednesday, so just keep them in prayer. I'd like to go ahead and go through some of the announcements that are in the bulletin right now. We have some birthdays this month. Bill, your birthday is today. My dear hubby's birthday is today. Happy birthday, sweetie. I love you. And Mark Dominic's birthday is tomorrow. So happy birthday. And let's see what else we have here. The Jula language. We're doing really good on that. We are, so far, we have raised up to $29,000 this far towards the Jula language. And praise God, they already have it. It's already established and it's out there. So that's awesome. We are still short about $6,000 for the total budget. So let's please continue to pray for the finishing of that project. Okay. Financially and the harvest to come on the Ivory Coast of Africa. So praise God. Amen. Coming up Wednesday, September 7th from 7 to 9, we will be hosting a public screening of Agenda 2. And those who are here who saw it the first time, it was just an awesome, awesome, awesome movie. So if you want to really be aware of what's going on with our nation, with the Marxism and the communism and things that are happening in our nation, this is a great movie. The director of this movie, Curtis Bowers, will be here with us that night. So please invite your friends, invite family. Please feel free to just come to this screening, and he will be available afterwards to answer any questions you may have about the movie and about what he's discovered. So that's awesome. And lastly, we have, coming up on September 10th, we have our church picnic. Coming up. So there's a sign-up sheet out in the hallway. If you would like to bring some things, we've got some categories set up out there. So if you haven't signed up for it and would love to contribute to that, please take a look at the sheet and put your name on there to sign up for something to bring. We're going to have food and games, and more information. The sign-up sheet is in the foyer, so please check that out and sign up if you haven't done so already. Amen? Amen. Huh? Okay, Anna? Okay, so there will be some instructions, some maps out forthcoming. There will also be some directional signs that will be on the roadways directing you to where you need to go to the lake. So we're looking forward to having a real fun time out at the lake. And from what I hear, they've got some pretty serious games lined up. So, amen, amen, amen. So this morning, I'd like to follow up on a little something that Joe had started last week, and his question was, what is success? And I had been listening to that message over and over and over again, and the Lord this morning kind of said, you know what, I think we need to go a little bit deeper into that. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. Does anybody here remember what Joe said success was from last week? Nope. Okay, success isn't what we think it is, okay? We think it's the fame, it's the fortune, it's fulfilling the goals that you have in your life, it's being established, which is true. All of that can be a reward of being successful, but that's not success, okay? Success, faithfulness, being faithful to the Lord and doing what he has called you to do. In other words, fulfilling his purpose in your life. That is success. The other things that come will be a reward of you being faithful to him. So faithfulness is being faithful to the Lord and doing what he has called you to do, fulfilling his purpose in your life. Okay, so the first scripture passage I want to go to is Joshua 1, chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 7 and 8. Joshua 1, 7 and 8. So the first thing I want to say is in order for you to be successful, you have to understand what is required of you. If you don't know what's required of you, how are you going to be successful in anything? So you have to know what's required of you. And in Joshua 1, verse 7 and 8, this is the instruction that God was giving Joshua before they were crossing over into Canaan. Moses was no longer there, was no longer with them. So this is what God was telling him. And in these two verses really give you the meaning of success or how to do it. In verse 7, and I'm coming from the New American Standard Bible, okay, it says in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. You will have success. So, the book of the law shall not depart from you or your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you're careful to do according to what is written in it, so that you're careful to do what the Lord wants you to do, what he's told you to do, what he's established for you to do, what he has planned for you to do. And in it, you will make your way prosperous and you will have great success. So there he's given you the recipe or giving you the ingredients for what you need for your success. So in order to be successful, you have to understand what is required of you. Number one is, what is God's objective for you? What is his objective? What is the end result that he's wanting for you to get to? You can't win or you can't be successful if you don't study the playbook. Football season is now. Okay, football season's coming up, so I can kind of correlate this to football. You have a playbook, and in that playbook, it gives you all the plays, it gives you all the positions, where you're supposed to go, where you're supposed to run, how many yards you're supposed to run. It gives you instructions for that so that you understand what you're doing on that field. God has a strategy for each and every one of us. He has a strategy for where he wants to place us and how he wants us to go. Nothing moves until that playbook is set into action. So it's not enough for you or for us to know what's in his word and not act on it. It's not enough. We have to act on what he's given us to do. We have what he wants in front of us. We have that playbook in front of us. He's directing us and instructing us and telling us where to go. But if we don't move, nothing's going to happen. And the problem with most of us is we're sitting back thinking, okay, God's told me to do this, or God's giving me this. So you know what? I'm just going to let God do all of this. We limit ourselves because we don't move enough. Or not at all. We depend on God to do everything. And something that Joe was talking about last week was, a lot of times we are too busy asking something from God or asking God to do something that he's already given us or that we are supposed to do, and we're asking him to do it. So we have to move and know what it is, what he wants us to do. You have to know the playbook to function in your position. God has positioned each and every one of us strategically in the kingdom and here to do what we need to do. We're strategically positioned, okay? He doesn't just put us in a certain position for nothing. There's a purpose behind that. There is a big purpose behind that. So he positions us, and we have to know what it is he wants us to do in that position. He's not going to just place us somewhere where he's not prepared us or equipped us to move. He's not going to put you just anywhere so you're standing there like a deer in headlights and not being able to function. He equips you. He prepares you for where he places you. And when he places you there, you need to have faith and know and trust that God has his hand on you and can push you through that area. Okay? Amen. And this is something God's been talking to me too about, because I've been writing this stuff for 2 or 3 days and it's been hitting me, and I'm like, okay, Lord. I got it. Play your position without trying to take someone else's. There are a lot of times where God has positioned us, and because we don't think it's glorious or glamorous enough, or we don't think we're getting enough recognition, or we don't think that we are being properly honored, we can look at somebody else's position where they're playing and try to go after that because you feel that that's better. Well, you know what? There is no position in the kingdom that is not important. As small as it may seem to you, there is no position in the kingdom that is not important. Even if it's just picking up a piece of paper off the floor, it's important. So we need to understand that Because when we try to pick up someone else's position, we are not equipped or trained to walk or function in that position. So what happens is in our trying to walk in that position, we don't know what we're doing. And we end up getting beat up. We end up getting hurt. We end up getting frustrated because we're trying to function and trying to excel in that position, and God didn't put you there. So we need to play our position without trying to take someone else's. Okay. Let's go to 1 John 5, chapter 5, verse 4. First John chapter 5 and verse 4. And that says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The reason why that verse is important is because of the next point that I'm going to bring up. When we're functioning in our position and we're going towards this success, a lot of times that's going to require us releasing the white knuckle grip that we have on the helm of the ship. And what I mean by that is we are on a ship. God's put us on a ship, our life. We know where we need to get to. We see the port that we need to get to. But what happens is we look out and we start seeing storm clouds. We start seeing an oncoming storm. So what we do is instead of going on, we pull into port somewhere where we have no business pulling into. Okay? When the whole time God is saying, just take your hands off the helm and let me drive. Let me take the ship. I see the storm coming. I know all about the storm. I created the ocean. I created the sea. I created everything. I see the storm coming. Take your hands off the helm. Let me take the helm. Let me take you through the storm. Because as I'm taking you through the storm, there are things that I'm going to teach you. There are things that I'm going to reveal to you. There are things you're going to learn through this storm that are going to equip you for the future storms coming. If you take your hands off and let me take you to the storm, I will teach you so that you're able to navigate through any further storms that are coming. And as you allow him to do that, you will get to the ports that you need to get to. We get stuck. We see Tahiti, we're trying to get through, and we're stuck in Miami because of the storm clouds we're seeing. And so we have to learn to take our hands off the helm, let God take us through the storm, and let us navigate, let him navigate it. We have to let God have the boat, and he has things for us to do. Don't think that because you're having to take your hands off the helm, that there's nothing else for you to do. Oh, yeah, there's stuff for you to do. There's things for you to do. Just not navigate the boat. And we have to take our hands off of a lot of things because we've grown so accustomed to controlling things on our own. We feel like if we lose control of things or we're not controlling it, nothing's going to happen. But where's your trust in God? Where's your faith in God? Where's your knowledge in him? Where I spoke about this a few weeks ago or a month or so ago about knowing, getting from believing to knowing what God is and who he is and who you are in him. And when you know that, there is nothing that can move you. There's nothing that can sway you. There's nothing that can change your mind when you know who you are and know who God is. So we must learn to take our hands off. Success comes in knowing when to move, when not to move, when to speak, when not to speak. Success also is knowing that as you're going through these different levels, not everybody's going to go with you. Not everybody's going to go with you. There are people that are strategically placed with you at certain levels through your journey to success that are to get you through those certain levels. And as you get to higher levels, those certain people are not going to be able to go with you. So you have to realize that when you're going through this success, there's some pain that's going to be there because people that you're used to having around you, people that you've laid on for crutches, people that you've depended on for your support are going to have to fall away because he's got to replace those people with more people that will help push you and elevate you and carry you through to the next level. He's got to change that because if he doesn't, the people that's been with you all along are going to be dead weight hanging on you while he's trying to elevate you. So part of success is realizing that the people around you will change. The atmosphere around you will change. The environment around you will change. Success is all about growing. Success is about change. Success is about being faithful. Success is about trusting God. And success is about fulfilling, doing your part to fulfill what God has called you to do and what he has put into your life and into your spirit to do. Amen. Amen. There are some things that the Lord had showed me, and there is something that someone had sent to me a long time ago, and some of you may have seen this. It's been out for a long time, but it talks about the different things that we can learn from geese. There's 7 different things that we can learn from geese, and some of you out here may be familiar with it. If not, this will be new to you, but it really speaks volumes to me, and every now and then I go back and look at this because it really hits home with me, and it kind of brings me back to where I need to be and where I'm at. So the first thing here, it says, as each goose flaps its wings, it creates uplift, an aerodynamic orientation that reduces air friction for the birds that follow. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock achieves a 70% greater flying range than if each bird flew alone. So what this pretty much is saying is that people who share a common direction and goal can get where they're going quicker. So success, especially in the kingdom, if we're all focused in on the big picture of what God wants, we should all be focused on the same thing. And if we're focused on the same thing, we're going to get what we need to have established here on this earth a lot quicker. And with less effort, because we benefit from the momentum off of the group moving around them, the body of Christ should be aligned towards a common goal. Success. Success. Number 2. Flying in a V formation increases the visibility as every goose can see what's coming or happening in front of them. Having the top visibility enables the leaders to stay connected. In response, we're able to make better informed decisions. Bottom-up visibility enables us to see the bigger picture, engages us, and empowers us to better align ourselves with kingdom objectives. So being in a V formation, you have the lead goose that's out front who is able to see what's going on and remain connected with the rest of the body. We, as the rest of the body, should be able to see the bigger picture That's what it's all about. We all have to see a bigger picture. And we've talked about that before. Each one of us has a piece of the puzzle. That's what's so incredible about Wednesday nights when we get together and we discuss what each and every one of us is hearing from the Lord and what the Lord's revealing to us. It's because each one of us has a piece of the puzzle. And as we get together and release those pieces of the puzzle, it comes together to form a bigger picture. And just like a puzzle, you've got the picture in front of you, so you know what it's supposed to look like. It makes it a lot easier to put that puzzle together when you know what it's supposed to look like. When you don't have that vision, it's going to be a struggle. Because you can't envision where everything goes and what's supposed to be here and what's supposed to be here. So we need to have the bigger picture, and the leaders are ahead to keep us connected. And so with all that going on, it will better align ourselves with kingdom objectives. Number three, when a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the friction of flying alone. It then quickly adjusts its mistake and moves back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird immediately in front of it. When we fall out of position, we need to recognize it and get back in. Most of the time, we know when we're not where we should be. We know, because you start squirming and you start feeling not so good, and then the next thing you know, you're kind of like, okay, you know what? I don't think I want to go to church because everyone's going to know what's going on and they're going to judge me. And So when we get out of position, we need to move back in. We can't just stay out of position. It's just like anything, a football game. If you've got a player out of position and a touchdown scored, there's going to have to be an adjustment made there. Because if that person is continually out of position, they're going to continue to be defeated time and time and time and time and time again. We need to be in position. Be humble to admit the challenges you face and seek help as soon as you get stuck, preferably before you get stuck. Humility actually enables you. We got to come out of this pride thinking, okay, well, I'm in this position, so I can't say anything to anybody because I will look bad, or I will look weak, or I will look like I'm not capable of walking with the Lord the way I should. If you're struggling, say something. Say something. That's what we're all here for. We're all here to uplift and to pray for each other and help each other through whatever we're struggling through. If you've got one person struggling, and you're not paying any attention, or you're not coming forward and saying, I need help, or, you know what, I'm having an issue with this area in my life. Can you please pray with me about it? I'm struggling with this thing. Can you please help me and pray with me about this? If we can't do that, then building the kingdom and bringing what God's wanting down to this earth is going to be impossible. We have to be able to trust each other and believe each other and believe the Lord has put each one of us in each other's lives to help each other. So be humble to admit the challenges you face and seek help as soon as you know you need it. We got to get past this pride thing. We've got to get past this pride thing. We've got so many leadership that right now that are struggling. Church is going under because leadership's been functioning under a lie. They're struggling with stuff, and they're trying to help their congregation and trying to tell their congregation how not to live, and they're struggling with the very same thing that they're telling their congregation not to do. So we really have to deal with that. We see that all around. We see it in government. We see it in just about any area that we have. It's this mentality that in order for me to be strong, I have to present myself strong. It takes a strong person to admit that they're challenging. They're being challenged with something. And to get help. Number four, when the lead goose in the front gets tired, it rotates back into formation and allows another goose to take the position. Know your limitations. Know your limitations. Know how much that God has, how much you can do, and don't go past that limit that's been placed there. Part of what the Lord has told us to do, and Joe has spoken about this all the time, the Great Commission, is to go out and make disciples. That's the Great Commission. Empowering others to lead. We can't keep it to ourselves. What the Lord has given us, what the Lord has taught us, we need to share it with others so that they can reproduce, so that they can duplicate and do what we're doing to further the kingdom, to further grow the kingdom, to further spread the word of God, to further set people free, to release them from bondage, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to open blinded eyes, to open deaf ears, to release those who are in bondage and who are bound in chains. We have to go ahead and share that, because we have to empower them, because you know what happens when you keep a tight control or rein on you, on somebody? Not only does it hinder them, it burns you out. It burns you out because you're struggling trying to keep them from getting where they need to be, or trying to not let them get past or get by, that it burns you out. And one of the things that I always told my students when I taught at college was, my job here is to give you information. My job here is to teach you and to train you. If you surpass me, hallelujah, I'm chasing you around the room. Because that means that what I've done has set in, and I've done what the Lord told me to do. So if you grasp what I'm giving you, and you're running with it, and you're taking off with it, and you're surpassing me, and you're going on, I'll catch up later. I'll see you later. Keep going. Keep going. Because we all have unique skills, capabilities, and gifts to offer. We all do. We just have to tap into the Lord and tap into that power and release those gifts, which the Lord is doing. He's doing that right now in the nation, in the world. He's starting to activate gifts, and he's starting to release them, and people are coming out of it because they've been sitting on their gifts too long, and it's time for them to be released. Number five, the geese honk to recognize each other and encourage those up front to keep up their speed. Make sure you praise God first in all things and give him glory. Then make sure you praise people and give them the recognition they deserve. That's part of success. Give God the glory for everything first. Then make sure that you recognize and you give people the recognition they deserve. Because lack of recognition is one of the major reasons for discouragement within the body of Christ. Not that it's important, but lack of recognition or lack of honor, lack of respect causes frustration. It causes discouragement. So we have to encourage each other. We have to recognize each other. We have to honor each other, because we are kingdom citizens. We are royalty, and royalty honors. Royalty honors. So we need to honor each other. Number six, when a goose gets sick or wounded, two geese drop out of formation and follow it down to help and protect it. They stay with it until it dies or is able to fly again. Then they launch out with another formation or catch up with the flock. We must stand by each other. We must stand by each other in difficult times, because it's easy to stand by each other when everything's going right. We can pat each other on the back. We can praise each other. We can high-five each other. But let one of us start going through a trial or tribulation. Are we there for each other? Or are we too busy then because we don't have time to pray, or we don't have time to sit down and listen, or we don't have time to talk, or we don't have time to embrace or to encourage or to give counsel to someone who is going through something? And it's pretty amazing that it says not one, but two. When a goose goes down, two stay with it until it dies or is able to fly again. So we have to be able to support each other when, not only when things are going well, but when things get difficult or when we are facing challenges, because that's when kingdom people need each other the most. Number seven, the geese migration routes never vary. They use the same route year after year, even when the flock members change. The young learn the route from their parents. In the spring, they will go back to the spot where they were born. We have to stay true to our core values. That's something that was brought up in an ecclesia service a while back too, and he never followed up on it, but I think he probably will. What are your core values? What are the values that are the real part of you? What are the values that you would live and die for? What are the values that push you forward and your whole being and your life revolves around? What are those core values? And if you don't know, then we probably need to sit down and start determining what your core values are. That's an important part of your life. We have to stay true to our core values and purpose. Strategies, tactics may change. We always have things around us changing all the time. Our nation's changing. The government's changing. The body of Christ is starting to change now. Everything around us is changing. But we have to remain true and faithful to our core values. What do you believe? What do you know? People may change. Leadership may change. Pastors may change. Congregations may change. People on a praise and worship team may change. But what is that core value? That has to be there. We have to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord. We have to be steady. We have to be set on the foundation of God and God alone, on his word, on his principles, on his direction and instruction. We have to be set. God's word never changes. Just like it says, the geese migration routes never vary. God's word never changes. His meaning, his purpose for our life doesn't change. What his son did on Calvary doesn't change. What he's directed us to do never changes. He wants us to give him glory. He wants to give him honor. He wants us to give him praise. He wants us to go out and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. None of that changes. And once again, that goes back to being on the ship and seeing the storm clouds ahead of you. The weather changes, but that destination doesn't. That destination doesn't. We may try to navigate around it and get around it, which sometimes ends up getting us lost or stranded. But his destination or his port for us never changes. It's always there. So really what I'm wanting to say this morning is we need to be focused and we need to remember what success truly is. Let's not get tied up and wrapped up in the hype and the fluff and the glamour of what the world is saying success is. Because that success is temporary. All the money, all the glamour, all the prestige, all the fame, all the fortune, all of the recognition, status, all of that stuff's temporal. It's temporary. Because the minute you lose something, the minute you're not financially stable anymore, the minute the money's gone, guess what? All of that goes away with it. But when you have the true success, being faithful, fulfilling God's purpose in your life, when he blesses you with those things, it's permanent. It sticks with you. And most importantly than that is the rewards that you get in heaven. That's what we look for, is the rewards there. We get rewards here too. But what we are looking forward to is what is waiting for us in heaven, which is so much more than any reward that we can have down here. So I would like for everyone to just keep in mind what I spoke about this morning with success and realize that we really do just need to give up control and let God control everything in our lives. Let go. Let go. Let go of the helm. I know it's scary because at least when you had control of it, you knew where you were going. You knew where you were going and you're controlling where you're going. You knew how long you were going to be there and you could leave and go whenever you please. But that's not where God's wanting to take you. Let go of the helm. Let him take you. Let him take you through some of these storms. Let him take you through the storms. And know that you're going to get to your destination safely. And in doing so, you will have learned how to navigate those storms. Amen? First part of being successful is knowing God. You have to know him. You have to know his ways. You have to know what he's about. You have to know who he is, because in knowing that, you know who you are. There can be no success without God. There can't be any success without God. So the first thing I want to do today is ask if there's anyone here who doesn't know God, who doesn't know Jesus Christ, who doesn't know that Jesus Christ gave his life to die for you, who made the sacrifice so that you can be successful. You want to look at the perfect example of success? Look at Jesus. The man went through things that we'll never, ever go through in our lifetime. Wouldn't want to. But through his all, through it all, he saw the end result. He asked that the Lord redirect him, that God, his Father, would redirect him around. But in the end, he said, you know what? It's not my will. It's your will. And that's something that a lot of people get mistaken today. You know, they say, well, I have free will. We have free will, you know. Really, you don't. Once you give your life to God, your will is His. You have freedom of choice. You can choose what you want to do. But once you give your life to God, your will is His will. So if there's someone here today that doesn't know the Lord as their personal Savior, today is the day to make that right. Today is the first day of your success. Today is the first day of your success. So if there's anybody here that would like to, that doesn't know the Lord, could you please just slip up your hand? Nobody. Awesome. If you've been struggling with letting go of the helm and letting God take control of that helm, you're scared of the storms you see ahead of you because they look fierce. They look dark. They look destructive. And you've been trying to steer around it, or maybe you've just pulled into port somewhere and have just made yourself at home at that port, knowing that there's a destination over here you need to get to. But you're scared. Today's the day to release that helm and give it over to God and let Him take you where He needs to take you. There's too many things that God has for each and every one of us to do. And we can't sit stuck at a port because it makes us comfortable, because it makes us feel at peace within ourselves. We have to let God take us where we need to go. So if you've been struggling with letting go of that helm and letting God take control of that helm and begin to take you through these storms that you need to go through to get equipped, to need to get to be prepared, I want to call you, ask you to come down front right now, because I would like to pray with you about that. There's no storm that's too big for God. No storm that's too big for God. No ocean too rough that He can't navigate you through. If you're struggling in just thinking about your success and you can't just release the fact that you have to have the notoriety, you have to have the fame, you have to have the honor, you have to have affirmation. If you're struggling with affirmation issues, with having to have affirmation from man, and you're struggling with that this morning, I would like to have you come down for it, because I want to pray with you for that too. Because when it all boils down to it, God has called you. God has sealed you. God has labeled you. God has affirmed you from day one in your mother's womb. God affirmed you. God knows who you are. And regardless of the label that people place on you, regardless of what they say about you, you are God's. You are God's. Nothing else matters. You are God's. If you can get that in your spirit, you are God's. And when you are a child of the King, you sit up here. I'm going to pray for those who have come forward. Is there anybody in the place this morning that is ill, that is sick, that is not feeling well, having any issues in their body? Anybody not feeling well?